Reading this morning will be taken from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 12. I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, a door was opened to me, for me in the Lord. But my mind could not rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Verse 15 again. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Am I going to get in trouble for doing this? How good is your sense of smell? Can you remember the smell of homemade bread baking? Hamburgers on the grill? Roast in the oven? How about fresh ground coffee, a neighborhood barbecue, roses, honeysuckle, pine trees? There are certain smells that when I catch a whiff of them, take me back. Whenever I was a teenager, do you remember High Karate, the aftershave lotion? Anytime I smell anything close to High Karate, I'm at Quartz Mountain Christian Camp, 1970. I just like that, I'm back. You have smells like that? They say, depending upon your sense of smell, that's how you have a sense of taste. If you can't smell things, then generally you don't taste things very well either. You ever try to enjoy a piece of pumpkin pie when you had a cold? It's just not the same, is it? Fragrances. Now, my intent is for this candle to get clear to the back before the lesson is over. For this fragrance, it says warning, do not light on the pulpit. No. To fill this room, I don't know if it'll do it or not. I didn't practice that. We have things that try to block smells, don't we? You don't want me around without my band. I guarantee you. Went into the store this week and was down at Walmart, and I had to have another cylinder or bottle or container, whatever it is, of Ban. And I stood there for 5 minutes looking at the deodorants. And I could see Menin, and I could see Right Guard, and I could see Sure, and I could see everything but Ban. And I thought, surely they haven't quit making Ban. I went through, I don't know how many different brands of deodorant when I was a teenager. Did you do this too? Trying to find the one that works for me. I didn't want any smell. That was the whole point. Don't give me perfume. Don't give me anything that makes me smell differently. Just give me something that makes me not smell like me. And Ban is it. And I stood there in shock at Walmart this week thinking, oh no, they've quit making Ban. Anybody else had this experience? You say, no, preacher, you're the weird one. They have changed the color of the band bottle. It is lime green. It's the ugliest looking... Oh, I'm sorry, Rachel. It's Rachel's birthday. I shouldn't talk about the color of shirt she's got on. Ban has a bottle almost that same color, and I looked past it a dozen times before I found it. I was so upset. I knew I had one jar already that was brand new. I was so upset, I thought, I'm just going to find me a white one to buy. That's prejudice, isn't it? You hope I don't hold on to that, right, in case I don't find a white one? Soda in the refrigerator, what does it do? It literally absorbs the smell, doesn't it? Do you want me to spray this Lysol? No. It is a sweet-smelling spray for Lysol. I told Colleen when I picked it up today, I said, I'm not going to spray Lysol in the auditorium. And then I walked into one of the bedrooms and I sprayed just a little bit. And I thought, oh, that's not too bad. And she said, well, what it's supposed to do is cover up all the other odors in the house. This one is called Nutra Air. Neutralizes odor. So if I don't find any more Ban, it's Lysol for me, I guess. Now over here we have those things that encourage aroma. The potpourri. I like doing this to coffee too, by the way. That's almost a cinnamony smell. I don't know that that one will reach the back. And this one is called Moonlight Madness. No, I mean Moonlight Path. Moonlight Madness. This one is pretty sweet smelling too. That's a body splash. Aromas. We attach things to them. We'll get into some negative ones here in just a moment. But for a positive view of things, we know that we associate memories, good times, good things with smells. We once had a friend who worked at a cattle yard. And we asked him, we said, how in the world can you work? Have you ever driven through Dodge? Garden City? Kansas in general? I'm going to be in trouble for that one, aren't I? We drove through one time when Jessica was about, I think she was close to 4 years old, and we were driving through Kansas to go visit aunts and uncles on Colleen's side, and we drove past one of those, and the wind was just right, and it was, I mean, you could almost see the green cloud covering the highway. And as we drove through, Jessica said, roll down the window and let it out. You could tell she was raised with lots of brothers and sisters that had problems from time to time. But we had to explain to her, wait a minute, honey, you don't roll down the window on this one. Take our word for it. Have you ever tried that, roll down the window on one of those occasions? And it just gets worse, doesn't it? Gag a maggot. It's bad. Paul is saying here something that is so important to us as Christians. Have you ever worried about how you smell to others? Well, it's obvious that we do. Paul says there is a spiritual aroma that is either pleasing or displeasing, depending upon how you smell and who the audience is. Let's read again, verse 14 and following, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to another a fragrance from life to life. How do you smell? You almost have to go back in history to fully understand what it is that Paul is talking about here. He uses the phrase, he leads us in triumph. And so I want you to visualize a parade of victory back in the time of the Romans. The Greek word here, thriambos, was a festal procession. And they used these festal processions when a Roman general returned from battle. It's used in referring to the celebration of a victorious general on their return from their campaigns. The general entered the city in a chariot, preceded by the captives and spoils taken in war, and followed by his troops, and proceeded in state along the sacred way to the capital, where he offered sacrifices in the temple of Jupiter. He was accompanied in his chariot by his young children and sometimes by confidential friends. while behind him stood a slave holding over his head a jeweled crown. The body of the infantry brought up the rear, their spears adorned with laurel. They shouted, "Triumph!" and sang hymns in praise of the gods or of their leaders. So as this general returned, there was this parade of triumph in which he was the center of attention. He brought with him prisoners of war that were in front of him. He had with him in his chariot or close to his side his family or friends. And then behind him were his soldiers singing praise to him. So Paul has this imagery when he says, Christ always leads us in triumph. So the mind of the Corinthians, as Paul begins this particular subject, immediately go to this glorious parade. Who's the general? Who's the victor? That's Christ. What are his troops doing, those closest to him? Singing his praises. While before him march those who have been defeated, those who are conquered, on display to his great power. So with this particular parade in mind, then God, through Paul, begins to build this scene in the minds of the people. And he says, and there is a sweet smell that diffuses as Christ and his followers come into the presence of others. The idea of the Roman triumph is still preserved in this figure. On these occasions, the temples were all thrown open. So as the Roman general would march through the streets of Rome, they would throw the temple doors open, and garlands of flowers decorated every shrine and image, and incense smoked from every altar, so that the victor was greeted with a cloud of perfume. Have you ever known someone that can't take smells? I have a dear friend in Mississippi that even the smell of ink on a freshly printed newspaper will make him sick. Any new garment that he buys has to be washed 3 times before he can wear it. Depending upon what soap his wife uses, he gets sick even after that. She has to use Tide, unscented. In order to read his newspaper, his wife takes it immediately as it comes in and hangs it on the line outside, the clothesline. And it has to hang there for 3 to 4 hours before she goes and takes it down and he can read it. Now that's being sensitive, isn't it? If he were to come into this auditorium, this candle would make him sick. That's how sensitive his nose is. Fragrance. A cloud of perfume. It doesn't fit well with him. But you may be one that can endure that and enjoy that. Maybe you even have potpourri around your house at all times, or have candles lit most of the time. I think like a wife's, like a woman's sensitivity to colors. You remember how women are more sensitive to colors than men? I think their olfactory units work overtime too. I think you smell things we don't. We're kind of like the man at the cow lot. We just go through life and who cares? Paul says, like the Roman general meeting with a cloud of perfume on his victorious march, so Christ is greeted by you and me with an aroma that is pleasing. Whenever the children of Israel were instructed in Leviticus chapter 1 to offer their burnt offerings, and it goes through great detail of how to prepare the bull and how to prepare the goat and how to prepare the pigeon or whatever bird it is that they're going to sacrifice. At the conclusion of each one of those descriptions, it says, and that whole offering being burnt upon the altar with the head, with the meat, is a sweet-smelling savor to God. I don't know that it smelled like a neighborhood barbecue, but it comes close. And in God's sight, it's sweet not because necessarily of the physical smell, but because of the dedication that was behind it that put forth. When Paul says to us in Romans chapter 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. He brings forth that connotation that when I am dedicated to God, I'm like a sacrifice to Him. I am that which is sweet smelling to God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And in talking about Christ and His offering to God by way of His death upon the cross, listen to the connotation to the illustration. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Have you ever smelled blood? When I see the cross, I see blood. And I've smelled blood. I've smelled chicken blood. I've smelled cow blood. I've smelled pig blood. I've smelled human blood. Blood stinks. It really does. Willie White was in a car accident, a senior in high school, just graduated. Got in with some friends in a pickup truck that were acting foolishly. Planned on going to York College to be a basketball player. Had a wreck. Comatose. ICU. 5 days. When I went in to hold his hand, the stench of blood was stomach churning. Christ on the cross, a bloody mess, a sweet smell to God. How can that be? As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It harkens back to Leviticus chapter 1. God's not talking about the burning of those animals as necessarily being something that smelled sweet. Have you ever burned hair? You ever singed a chicken? We used to pluck the chickens as best we could, and we still had to carry them in to Mom, who had the old gas stove, and she'd light it and turn the flame on high, and she'd take that chicken, and little black spots would appear on the chicken, and the smoke would just fill the house. What does it smell like to have burnt chicken feathers? It stinks. God wasn't saying that that sacrifice necessarily smells sweet to me, but the thought behind it, the action behind it, the dedication that it involved. Paul says, I am a sweet aroma of Christ to God, a fragrant perfume, that which shows I am fully, wholly given to God. When Paul wrote to the Philippians and referred back, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and referred back to the gifts that they had given him, because they were one of those congregations that continued to support Paul even when things were tight, times were tough. He wanted to let them know your gift that you sent was received. Verse 18, Philippians chapter 4. I have received full payment and more. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Now notice how he characterizes those gifts. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says to them what? Your actions smell so good. You ever thought about that? You are a fragrant offering to God, simply by the gifts that you've given. So when Paul asks me through the Holy Spirit to present my body as a living sacrifice to God, he is saying, do that which pleases God's nose. You do that which makes him glory in your whole offering to him. Totally, completely, sacrificially dedicated. A sweet smell. But just like we've mentioned already, the cow lots and the burnt chicken feathers, they're smells that aren't very pleasant. What does a skunk smell like? Do you have to see one to know he's been around? We had some dear friends that got skunks underneath their house. And he mistakenly went in there to try to get them out. And they sprayed. And long after the skunks were gone, it seemed like they were there. My little brother got sprayed. Steadon. Whenever he was small, got too close to a skunk and got sprayed. And we tried every homemade remedy there was, soaking the clothes in tomato juice, bathing him in whatever, and nothing worked. He still smelled like a skunk. We finally threw his clothes away. Of course, that's after we left him in the tomato juice for about a week, and they weren't worth trying to get him clean then. The smells of a pig pen. You know what a pig pen smells like? On our way to worship, we saw some horses out in a pasture just in front of Mount Princeton, and there were some folks there that were taking some pictures, and the lighting was beautiful on Mount Princeton with the clouds, and the horses were in the foreground. And I said to Colleen, I said, I wonder if he's getting the horses as well as the mountains. I wanted to stop. Felt like a Pharisee driving on by. But anyway, I did have my camera with me. And she said, but you know, horses stink. She knew it. I picked up this stuff. I'm not sure if she knew just where the lesson was going. I said, honey, pigs stink. Horses smell. Now, if you've been around both animals, don't you agree with that? Horses don't stink. They just have their own smell. I can remember riding old Dolly bareback. Nice big buckskin. She was given to the children's home when I was about 15 years old. She had already run her course. She wasn't as fast as she used to be anymore, but she had a back on her that dipped in the middle. You horseback riders, you know what that means? That means it's soft. You can ride a big barrel horse like that bareback and feel better than if it was a saddle. And I'd jump on old Dolly and I'd ride her. Sometimes I rode her a little hard. And when I got off, there was that sweat line right where my bottom and legs were, and I was just wet all inside. I didn't stink. I smelled like a horse. But there are stinks. Pigs stink. Skunks stink. Smelly armpits stink. And some of us smell worse than others. Paul, in this same passage, said, I am a sweet aroma of Christ to God. But how others perceive me depends totally upon their mindset. I can smell the same, but there are some who smell me and think I am the stench of death. Is there any smell like the stench of death? We talked about blood. You know what smells worse than blood? A decaying carcass. We had a bone hill in our pasture where we drug the cows and we drug the pigs and we drug whatever else. We buried the relatives, but whatever else died, we drug out there on Bone Hill. And then it just rotted. You know what that smells like? I cannot imagine the stench of war. I don't want to imagine. The smell of death just fills your nostrils, permeates your clothing, almost seems to get under your skin. And it's a long time before that smell leaves. And I don't like being around things that are dead and decaying. You ever had a mouse in the wall? Where's Gary? Doesn't smell too good, does it? I've got other stories, but I'll leave those alone. The smell of death is horrible. Paul says there are some, however, who view Christians not as sweet smells, not as perfumes, not as aroma, but there are those who smell Christians and they think death. How can that be? How can something so positive to God be so negative to others? I don't know if you know it, but I'm singeing the hair on my fingers with this candle. Singed hair doesn't smell good either. Listen to what Paul says here. Let's go back to our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 13, for we are the aroma of Christ to God. There is that whole sacrifice, that perfume that God finds pleasing. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved. And yet we smell also to those who are perishing. To the one, a fragrance of death to death. And to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Even in this, Paul is carrying forth the image of this Roman parade of triumph. Do you remember what was in front of the general? His captives, the prisoners of war. As they marched in front of the general, and by the way, whenever Titus conquered Jerusalem, he carried with him the 7 golden candlesticks and the golden bread table from the temple. As these were paraded in front of the Roman general, they had one thought in mind. This is my death march. Shortly after the parade, those who were paraded in front of the general, many of them were taken not simply to prison, but to the executioner. And while the general, through with the parade, is celebrating in his festal gathering with a feast and a banquet, those men at the very same time were being slain in honor of the occasion. Now here's the general in his chariot with his children beside him and his closest friends and his soldiers behind him, the victorious ones, singing his praises. He loves this day. All the aromas, all the smells, all the things that are happening around him, it's a great and wonderful day, very pleasing. But to these men, what do all those things represent? These final smells in their noses, they're the smell of death. They're the condemned. They're the ones who won't last out the day. And all of this celebration means but one thing to them, not the beginning, but the end. Life is over. Paul says sometimes you and I, most times you and I affect people like that because we represent that which they have rejected. We represent their defeat. We represent their condemnation because they have refused to honor Christ as King and as Lord and have continued to walk in the way of sin. You and I, when we get around them, we don't smell good to them. We stink. We're the smell of death. We're the reminder to them of their own condemnation and soon to be execution for all eternity. To one, the fragrance of life to life. To the other, the fragrance of death to death. Jesus said, "Don't marvel that the world hates you, because it hated me before it hated you." Sometimes we may not understand why we are rejected, why we can't be appreciated, why the things that we stand for aren't incorporated into the lives of others more than they are. And it's because they have not yielded to our Lord and Savior. And everything that we represent is contrary to the life that they wish to live. How do you smell? I don't want to smell good to man. I want to smell good to God. I want to offer myself wholly and completely to Him. I want to be a sweet savor of a whole burnt offering. In that then I find myself pleasing the one who is most important. A fragrance of life to life. A sweet smell. Not always liked, except by those who are spiritual and by our Heavenly Father. A fragrance of life to life. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't the Holy Spirit amazing? Taking those things which we can appreciate and we can identify with and saying, apply this now to the Spirit. Apply this now to that which is acceptable. Live a life that is pleasing to the Father. And be a sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Paul goes on to say, which is your reasonable service. I love baked bread. I love barbecues. I love steaks on the grill. I love the smell of pumpkin pie, fresh out of the oven. Can you imagine what a wholly dedicated life smells like to God? A wonderful aroma. Be wholly dedicated to Him. If you're not yet a child of God, if you've not put Christ on in baptism, or if you've wandered away, the invitation is extended to you as we stand and as we sing.